Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for February 18th, 2017. Today it's my great pleasure to be interviewing Dr. Carl Callimann again. Carl has a new book we'll be discussing called The Nine Waves of Creation, Quantum Physics, Holographic Evolution, and the Destiny of Humanity. And for those who have been following Carl's fascinating work over the years, I don't have to tell you that this is an important book in the way that it uses the modern language of quantum science and the holographic universe to explain what is happening to the energy fields morphing planetary evolution at this time. I interviewed Dr. Callimann back in September of this last year regarding his book, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, and you can listen to that interview at the Cosmic Love Show homepage if you want to see the progression of revelations that Carl brings to this new book that we'll be discussing today. For those of you who are new to Carl's work, I provided some excellent recent interviews that are linked in the show notes for today's show on the Cosmic Love homepage. And for those who are regular listeners of Cosmic Love, I'm sure you're aware that I've been talking about the geometric order of the holographic universe for years. Now we have Dr. Callimann going into this the pattern of multiple waves of energy that are now shaping unity consciousness of the family of mankind and are all connected global village. So we look forward to your insights. Thank you, Dr. Callimann, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, thank you so much, Christopher. It's great to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, Carl, I'm a serious student of your work, researching the, you might say, the order of the universe as taught by the ancient Mayans and now corroborated by modern science. And I'd like to begin with that modern science regarding new research that shows the cosmological order of the universe on an axis with a structure like the panels of a basketball. The ancients called this the Tree of Life, which also has a structure much like a torus field. I mean, could you expound on this amazing metaphor for the creation of the universe and our current reality on Earth?
Well, I think it is important to be aware for everyone, really, that the view of the birth of the universe, the initial emergence of matter, has changed significantly in the past 10 years. If we went to school in the 1900s, we were taught a model of the Big Bang, as it was called, and still remains called, as if it was just a big explosion that for some odd reason ended up like this kind of very structured universe that we're living in today. And of course that doesn't make sense, you know, if it was just a big explosion with no guiding principles, with no structure, then what would remain would be just debris all everywhere, and nothing really would exist. So from the very onset of the universe, there must be something giving structure and even direction to evolution, I would say. And it's on this particular point that so interesting new findings have been done in the science of cosmology. And in particular, it is this discovery of a cosmic axis, a central cosmic axis. And this has been made through the launching of a series of satellites that have, with increasing resolution, been able to take like a baby picture of the universe. And it's become clear that, you know, far from being just sort of a random, unstructured explosion, the universe started with this axis. And this is modern science. It's not, and I should say, it's very much mainstream science as well. And yet, it is something that we can now use to make sense of the ancient peoples of our planet that almost universally said that in the center of the universe, at the heart of the universe, there was a big, what they called a tree of life. Another word for it is the axis mundi, the world axis. But regardless of the word, we find here some kind of a very significant corroboration of ancient belief systems, what we have considered as belief systems. And it's something that is very crucial to us because our origin, it's all about our origin, or the at least, at the very least, the origin of the universe. And but also, as I'm developing in this particular book, it's about our particular origin as a species as well. And so this is something that, you know, I really recommend people to look into, and it's in my book, but there are other sources you can find about. No longer is the idea that the universe just started with some kind of a random, unstructured explosion. There is structure, and I would even say intention from the very beginning as to where this universe will go.
Well, this tree of life, this tree of life archetype concept, it's in world religions all over the world, isn't it? I mean, it's from revelations in the scriptures to the Chinese to yeah. the ancient civilizations, in the known world. I mean, it's pretty much universal all over the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is very much so, and maybe to some people the first thing that comes to mind is the tree of life in the Bible, we should notice here that the tree of life is introduced in the Bible, which after all is the book of the most significant religion in terms of adherence numbers on our planet. It comes in the first. In the first book, the book of Genesis, and I think even the last verse of the whole Bible is—I can't remember exactly the quote. It's about we will regain the peace of the tree of life. So it's sort of the Alpha and the Omega. If you read the Bible in that particular way and from that perspective. Now, that's what we, you know, most people probably have heard about, the tree of life in the Bible. But it equally played a very significant role in many, many other traditions. Among the Vikings, there was this huge ash, Yggdrasil, which was bigger than both the heaven and the earth together. And interestingly, it's said in the Edda that the branches of the tree of life would start to shiver when the universe became completed. It would be shivering at a higher and higher rate, so to speak.
Huh.
And then we could have, we could go to the tree of faith among the Bushmen, the oldest existing culture maybe on our planet, or we could go to the Maya. And with the Maya, a very interesting part of it is that to them, the tree of life was at the heart of their calendar. It was the origin of the calendar. And there are inscriptions talking about how what they call the first father would erect the tree of life and set in motion these creation waves that their calendar was all about charting. So yes, as you're saying, you know, this is an amazingly widespread myth, the idea of a tree of life. So, you know, anybody studying ancient civilizations would have very strong reasons to believe that there must be some kind of reality behind this. And I think that is what modern science, through the sending out these different satellites and studying the baby universe, is really coming back to us, saying that, yes, it's the same thing. It's just different languages through which we understand this reality.
Yeah, this languaging of this archetypal meme, or, you know, this concept of the tree of life. I know, you know, in a lot of the New Age community, they refer to, you know, in the principle of meditation, sitting under your own vine and fig tree, you know, basically under your own tree of life or your mighty I Am presence. And there is also, of course, now in modern science, that there's this concept of the microcosm and the macrocosm and how it's all connected with torus fields within fields within fields. You know, like there's a torus field around the cell, there's a torus field around the body, there's a torus field around the brain field. And the torus field is, you know, like it's a circle, there's an axis in the center. I mean, it's a sphere, and the energy goes up and around the top, and that energy, and a lot of mystics who have seen and visualized this field, this, you know, of course, around the aura, the human aura, but also in science, you know, the visualization of this field as they look at the torus field of the whole Earth has a torus field around it. And there's, at all levels, there's these torus fields, and it looks like if you take the center of it, one visualization of it with the energy up at the top coming down around the top and to the bottom and coming back up through the axis in the center, it looks like a tree. So I'm fascinated with that. I thought I'd begin with that because it kind of the big picture of the universe at all levels, from the microcosm, you know, from an atom is like a torus field. You know, all levels to the great central sun and our galaxy is a giant torus field with this energy that goes up and around it, you know, and you might say, you know, you can visualize it as a tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fascinated with that. I thought I would begin with that and contextualize that. Now with what's going on now, and you can just, well, put it in a little bit of a larger context, the exponential rate of change the last 100 years. We've seen, you know, from the agricultural age, the industrial age, the digital age, now they're calling it the quantum age. You know, this quantum, again, fields within fields within fields, that they're all being guided by energies from the inside out, you know, that's affecting our DNA, mm-hmm. our consciousness, you know, the world at large, and they're all being integrated now in the ninth wave, as you explain in great depth with phenomenal background on all the nine waves, but then specifically the ninth wave now are being integrated to the extent that we resonate with this unity in our diversity, which is an abstract concept if you're seventh or eighth wave dominant, but, you know, there's levels of all these frequency waves of integration going on now, and my expression is some will, some won't, so what, next?
Okay.
But it's to the extent that we resonate with these different waves. And could you explain how the nine waves of creation actually define the accelerated rate of change that we now see being integrated with the ninth wave?
Yeah. Sure. I think a very good metaphor to use for this are the pyramids that were erected by the Maya. that the most important pyramids, at least the ones in Palenque, in Chichen Itza, in Tikal, they were built in 9 different terraces, 9 different levels. And you find the same thing in several pagodas in the East Asia. This number 9 is a holy number in many different traditions. And what these 9 levels of a pyramid symbolized to the Maya was really like a cosmic evolution scheme. Where, and typically, you know, the kings of these old cities, they would climb the 9 different levels and come to the top. And this was an enactment of the cosmic evolution process, where the universe has gone from one level to another, and each level being created by a particular wave with a particular frequency. And these 9 levels were not activated all at the same time at the birth of the universe, but they have been sequentially activated. And so, but then again, because each one of them has a 20 times higher frequency compared to the one that they are developing from or standing on, so to speak, with every
step. Yeah, I saw a video that was done on this understanding of this accelerating frequencies,
yeah.
And it was just amazing.
Yeah, and if you study the evolution of life, especially in the universe, it's quite obvious that it has been accelerating. And so, for instance, at the very bottom level, the first wave, it creates just basically monocellular life forms. And it took about 2 billion years between the time when the first simple bacteria emerged on our planet to the more complex life or cells from which multicellular species could emerge. It's a tremendous amount of time, you know, and you may compare that to the time it took for the human brain to develop from the first humans about 2 million years until now, or computers have been around for maybe 50 years or something like that, and mm-hmm. completely changed the world in that time frame. And the reason that we've had this kind of acceleration is that there are different waves that are developing these different phenomena. And as we climb to the top of the pyramid, the frequency of these waves are dramatically increasing. And we've now, as of 2011, come to the top level where there won't be any further speed up, but it will continue to have that particular rate of evolution for those people that have been are part of the ninth wave process developing the kind of consciousness that particular wave carries.
I'm correlating this understanding of the ninth wave to a lot of different speakers on the science aspect of what they call zero point phenomena is coming into an awareness, and again, sometimes being referred to the quantum age. This zero point phenomena, as far as free energy technology and quantum empowerment, as far as resonance with this understanding that just even the thought about a scientific experiment will affect the outcome. Well, the whole of humanity, you might say, is the scientific experiment. And our thoughts and our consciousness that is being integrated with, you know, a new social unity consciousness, social conscience in our global social networks. There's a whole, this global mind, and this was your previous book, we discussed this. This global mind is emerging with an instant, everywhere, interactive connection that is actually speeding up the rate of change because people are originating new information at a rate and new videos, and other people are evaluating and creating new videos about that. And it's like there's this recycling of general knowledge that generates specific wisdom with a general enlightenment that's going on globally that is a phenomena that, you know, I refer to it as the big shift, but it's an integration of all these nine waves.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with that. The Buddha said that the sense of separation is the cause of all suffering, and we can now see this new unity consciousness emerging globally, which challenges the old paradigm of good and evil and divide to conquer. Can you comment on this paradigm shift to unity consciousness and whether Buddha was the messenger of the ninth wave we see going global now?
Well, I suspect that Buddha was, you know, he had some temporary experience of breaking out of the kind of duality mind that was dominating people at that particular time. And I think we should be, you know, when we look at religions or philosophical thought structures that have developed over the past 5,000 years, they are based on a reality that people were in at that time, namely that they were dominated by or they were tuning in to a dualist mind, one that favored the left brain half. And so what that tells me is that even if these ancient religious systems have maybe profound truth in them, they are also very much colored by that particular kind of duality. And you certainly find it in the Abrahamic religions where there is this whole idea of a good and evil and some people being good and evil and so forth, a strong sense of duality. And but it's always been these people that have been able to break out of that like a temporary thing, and Buddha was one, and I'm sure there's been many others, people that we refer to as mystics that have these kind of experience. But these overall, you know, I think the saying is that none of Buddha's disciples became enlightened. So even if he had this experience and did whatever he could to convey it and to develop a teaching that would allow people to follow in his footsteps, you know, as far as I have read, it really didn't turn out that way. Maybe people became ethical and followed the guidelines in this sense, but that's not exactly the same thing as coming to a state of enlightenment or unity consciousness. But what is happening in our own time, it's beginning to happen, I should very much emphasize, is that through the since then, since the time of Buddha and Christ and several others, higher waves, the seventh wave, the eighth wave, and now finally the ninth wave have been activated. And in principle, I believe that this allows for a collective enlightenment, and enlightenment then means transcending separation, or the ability to transcend separation fully. And that's a very important point to see, that, you know, these waves, what to the extent that we humans can become enlightened in the full sense of the word, depends on what which ones of these waves that we've been able to climb to or develop resonance with. And ultimately, since these waves are now continuing to run in parallel and will most likely do so for all eternity, we must conclude, I would say, that the purpose of this whole design of the universe with, based on these nine waves of creation is ultimately to create a collective state of enlightenment. And I think it was hardly possible in the time of Buddha for this to happen. And that, you know, the duality that people were so ingrained with at that particular era prevented this from happening more than occasional mystics and sages and so forth.
Well, it's fascinating to me to think of how there has been this shift from the left brain dominant, you might say, letter of the law, to a more of a right brain, nonlinear, spherical spirit of the law that has emerged with the ninth wave. And this unity consciousness as far as a balance, I mean, there's still, you know, we still have a left brain, we all have a right brain, but it's like the global movement. And of course, global is within us now. I mean, the field, the unified field, the quantum field is, you know, the ninth wave frequencies that, you know, that our brain hemispheres are resonating with are reflecting not just the former waves, but it's you might say, perfecting or adapting to this ninth wave harmonic that is integral with all the former waves.
Yeah.
And I see this, you know, and I mean, I look at the East and West metaphors and models that you were talking about as far as the pyramid and the Mayan, those three pyramids in particular, and I've looked at them, those Mayan pyramids with the nine steps, and they're massive. They're huge, and they're intact. They're beautiful, and you have to wonder how they were built, just like you wonder how the Great Pyramid of Giza was built.
Yeah.
And then there's this pagoda you referred to in this was an ancient structure that was one of the largest building, you know, I guess for centuries, you know, until it was destroyed a few hundred years ago. But this giant nine-story pagoda that had, you know, nine levels of it, which is you know, they had the same intelligence back at that time. Mm-hmm. That of this understanding of the nine waves, and somehow they, you know, were tapping the Akashic records. The leaders were, you know, the builders were the ones mm-hmm. that led this archetypal, you know, expression in the physical with these giant structures that both East and West referenced these nine levels, and I think of that and how. And you talk about this in the ninth wave, how the hemispheres of the Earth, just like the hemisphere of the brain, are coming into there's a left and a right aspect to it that are coming into balance, a unity consciousness.
Yeah.
And that understanding of how the collective conscience of humanity and how the East is rising, the West has been dominant. And not that the East will be dominant, but it's coming into balance, this idea of, and studies have shown, and this is even regarding the holographic language of consciousness itself, that you know, just like in the East and China, they read from right to left because they're right brain dominant. In the West, we read from left to right because we're left brain dominant. This is coming. This is we're in a global village now. There's new universal translation capabilities on Facebook and other, you know, social networks whereby, you know, people are exchanging intelligence globally. It's like the walls in the mind are coming down, and there's a new unity consciousness emerging.
Yeah. And it's, as I think you pointed out earlier, it's a large diversity, and the diversity comes out of the fact that there are so many different waves that have created our mind and the universe, of course, at large, but also our mind. These different waves create interference patterns, and with the interference patterns comes a great increase in diversity and complexity. And the ninth wave is somehow to unify the complexity, I would say, that has already been created, and doing so because it endows human beings with a new kind of vision that allows us to see that everything is connected to everything else, and this is a perception of the world that you see increasing out there among people at large. It's a very significant change in perception, because that's really what underlies the whole idea that, you know, you shouldn't hurt others, or you shouldn't hurt nature, because that's really goes back to yourself as well, because everything is connected. And you know, this has been true, always been true. What is new is that with the ninth wave, such a perception is starting to become stronger, and will become stronger over time.
It's matriculating the matrix, as I call it.
And of course,
matriculation, the word materialization, matriculation, it's mother.
Yeah.
It's mothering,
yeah,
it's nurturing, exactly. this unity consciousness. In principle, we're already the family of mankind in a global village. I mean, we have instant everywhere interactive communications that we're united. In practice, there is still the remnants of the eighth wave, seventh wave. It's like there's still left brain dominant patriarchal.
Yeah,
religions, organizations, governments, you know, and constructs that are basically trying to hold that line, trying to hold the linear, linear consciousness that's the lockstep linear left brain consciousness that resists and resents, you know, the intuitive, nonlinear, spherical, spiritual, holistic, all-connected, common sense, know, that we're all one. And this is the big drama that's like the big shift of energies. The shift has hit the fan in the politics today. Whoa, it's like, it's very interesting.
Yeah. In this world after 2011, there are different forces in operation, and they reflect different waves, different frequencies. And I would say especially there is what has manifested in the United States in the recent election and post-election is this actually a desire to stay in the, you know, in the previous patriarchal system of thinking and acting and working, but at the same time there are these the H wave, which essentially favors the opposite mentality. It essentially favors the right brain half and intuition and the female. Which creates an opposing force, you might say, and these two forces will probably be sort of fighting or in conflict, at least in seeming conflict, for some time, but overall what we know from the Mayan calendar system is that it is the higher waves that over time, with their higher frequencies, tend to take over and become the ones that ultimately guide us towards the destiny of humanity.
Well, we're definitely seeing the rise of what I call the divine feminine, the principle of cooperation rather than conflict or competition, win-win rather than win-lose. You know, and we're seeing that, you know, we have now global commerce and global communications that define a global village, and of course, you know, the operant rule with unity consciousness is win-win, you know, cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're seeing, you might say, these popular movements arising from Brexit to the election of Trump, where it's not so much nationalism that is being asserted, it's a more of a decentralized grassroots, or I call it the netroots, because of the internet, you know, the netroots, grassroots, decentralized, bottom up rather than top down. It's a rising of what's considered, you know, in the public best for all, best for the public, you know, the grassroots, but you know, not just in England with Brexit or in America with Trump, but all over the world, you're seeing a groundswell of the what I call, you know, the concept of us as united sovereigns. You know, we're all one. It's the family of mankind now. We're in a global village, and it's just we're not going to be putting the internet back, you know, like the internet genie back into the bottle. You know, this is going mainstream. this understanding of the ninth wave. It's really interesting how your book basically shows the whole history of this trending and the patterns, and you might say even the geometry of these principles that have manifested, you know, in cycles that all follow an intelligent design. You might say the order of the universe, these nine waves. And to me, it's to be able to go into this understanding is really to make sense out of it's like how it's all in divine order now. And, you know, it's just like there's a peace that comes out of it, that it's all in divine order, that things are, you know, we're getting our act together, you know, from the inside out, this is manifesting, and we're having a lot of people worldwide that are becoming clear on, you know, how good things could be with creation of social, political, and economic institutions that are basically have this tree of life axis, this centered and connected orientation to cosmic law, universal law, natural law, the order of the universe. It's, you know, that sense of and this is, I really believe every individual on the earth is like the universe experiencing itself differently.
Yeah.
And that everyone is 100% right for their prevailing awareness, whether that's more of a sixth ray or seventh ray or eighth wave dominant, or whether they get the big picture and are at peace, you know, with this unity consciousness and heart coherent and mind congruent and otherwise centered and connected, this platform for evolution that we call the Earth is a wondrous experience right now. To me, the joy every morning of waking up and checking my astrology and then, you know, checking the astrology of the day and then going into and putting my finger on the pulse of the collective consciousness from all my news feeds and the new videos that are coming out, the new articles that are coming out to integrate the understanding of what's going on politically, socially, economically, it is accelerated so much. There's 10 times the information coming out daily, fresh from different aggregator news feeds, you know, on the internet than a year ago.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
So, Carl, I found this really fascinating today. I mean, we could go on much longer. I know this is a lot for a lot of people that are new to this. Those,
mm-hmm.
again, who I've who are familiar with your work, I've provided again these links, you know, in the show notes,
yeah.
the different videos yeah. and recent articles, of course, to your book, and and information about it, and personally, you know, your book, The Nine Ways of Creation, is now one of my top 10 books.
thank you. Yeah.
I highly recommend, you know, it's studied for anyone, but for the empaths that are out there listening, you know, you can let this book open itself to readings of the day and keep this book under your pillow and see what you can absorb. For those who are more left brain dominant, you know, go through the table of contents to those chapters that jump out at you as interesting, if you don't have the patience to read from front to back. But however you absorb the brilliant depth of this book, The Nine Ways of Creation, I think those who are listening will thank Dr. Kalman for the profound insight into the big drama of our times. And Dr. Kalman, I want to thank you for being with us on Love today.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Happy trails. Until we meet again. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of cosmic love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality, that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or maybe every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.